Good morning, and welcome again to another edition of Mornings for the Master, a program that is heard weekdays here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea. I am your host every Thursday here on Mornings for the Master. Mornings for the Master has a different host each day of the week and a different course of study. Now, here on our Thursday programs, we have just begun last week a study of the book of James. And so we're going to be continuing to introduce ourselves into this book today. And we're going to consider James, who was identified himself as a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our programs are heard each weekday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. They are replayed every evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and they are posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or two. Now, as we said, we've just begun a study of the book of James, so if you missed our program last week, you can go back to the on-demand section and pick that program up. Now, James chapter 1 and verse 1 says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Now, last week, as we looked at some of the background information around this letter of James, we determined that the James of this book would be the Lord's brother, in all likelihood, as the author. As we recall, there are several Jameses mentioned in the New Testament, but the evidence points to this in all likelihood being the James that was the brother of our Lord. Now, if this is true, then we have to note, though, that James does not identify himself as such. He simply called himself a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ here in verse 1. I think we can find a good reason for that, though. When James came to believe that Jesus was indeed the Christ, I believe that humility would cause him to refer to Jesus in a different way than he might have in his past. And so, like some of the other apostles, that we read of, now James himself not being one of the 12, but he would refer to himself as a servant. We might recall that Paul would refer to himself in this manner on a number of occasions. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, as Paul began that letter, he said, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Also, when Paul would write his letter to those in Philippi, notice again chapter 1 and verse 1 of Philippians. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Paul simply considered himself a servant. James did this. We might also note that our beloved brother, the Apostle Peter, would do the same thing. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, Peter began that letter identifying himself in this matter. Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think also very important to note that another brother, earthly brother of our Lord Jesus, Jude, who also has, of whom we have a preserved writing, consider how Jude would identify himself in verse 1. And note that he would identify himself as the brother of James, our writer in question here today, but simply a servant of Christ. Jude verse 1. Jude, a bond servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. So, when we think of James and Jude and Paul and Peter, why would these great men of the early church refer to themselves as servants? The Greek term or word doulos literally means a slave. Why would they literally refer to themselves as a slave to Jesus Christ? And in turn, as we see that this is how they regarded themselves, why should you and I think of ourselves as being servants or slaves to Christ? Think about being a servant or a slave to Christ. What all will this entail? So let's consider some things today. We need to realize that we are called to this. That is our calling. If we are going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth is we are called to be a servant. And our Lord Jesus was going to point this out on a number of occasions. He would bring this thought to the forefront when he was pointing out the faults that were to be found in the scribes and the Pharisees. Think back to the 23rd chapter of Matthew. And let's go there and begin in verse 12. But you, do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Certainly, the idea and concept of being a servant was illustrated by the Lord in the Last Supper. Go with me to John chapter 13, and there let's begin in verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. In fact, Jesus, through his own example, shows us that he came to be a servant. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 25, we see that. But Jesus called them to himself and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Also, think about what the Apostle Paul would say of Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So, as disciples of Christ, we are called very clearly to be servants. We are to be a servant of our Father God. Back in our text in James chapter 1 and verse 1, notice it begins, James, a bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. It says we are to be a bondservant of God, the reference being to our Father God. Also notice Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We are to serve the living God. As a Christian, we are called to be a servant of our Father God. We are also called to be servants or slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we think back to verse 1 in our text. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. A bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Notice what we are. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. We are slaves to God the Father, and we present ourselves as slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. We also find that we are to be slaves or servants to righteousness. Consider Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So as Christians, we are slaves or servants or bondservants of our Father God, the Lord Jesus Christ, of righteousness, as we just saw in Romans 6 and verse 18, we're slaves of righteousness, but also we are to be slaves or servants to each other. Consider what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only, do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. That's right. We are slaves to each other. Through love, we are to serve one another. Also, let us recall what Paul said to the brethren at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. to those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak, and have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. The early Christians called themselves servants. Peter, Paul, James, Jude, and others. Why did they call themselves servants? Because a servant is exactly what they were. But oftentimes in our modern society, the word servant has a negative connotation. So what then is so great about being a servant? Let's consider. Certainly, when one makes himself a servant, it is a mark of spiritual maturity. We find that those who lack spiritual maturity will be selfish in nature. Think about it. A newborn baby is typically very centered upon self, their needs. They want to sleep. They want to eat. They want you to change their diaper. But as they grow and get a little bigger, they begin to think more and more about the needs of others. And if they truly become mature, they will one day put others before self. Individuals that remain selfish as they go through life are certainly showing a lack of maturity. But the servant is one who serves others. The mature Christian is not selfish. The mature Christian concerns ourselves with the needs of others. And when this type of mindset is lived out, it shows and indicates a person of spiritual maturity. James considered himself a servant. And in fact, we can see all through this book of James the importance that James placed upon being a servant. Being a servant, again, shows maturity in our spiritual lives. When James made himself a servant, it shows his great spiritual maturity. For us, if we are going to be spiritually mature, one mark of that is that we would certainly then be a servant of our Father God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this what you're working to be? Are we making every effort to be a servant of the Father and the Son? Does the Lord Jesus Christ take preeminence in your life in all things? If this is the case, then you are certainly moving to maturity in your life. But now, this is something that's easy just to give lip service to. To be a servant has cost, and we must count the cost. Have you counted the cost and considered what it really means and requires to be a servant? The slave in a slave-master relationship must have absolute obedience. In fact, anything less could cost one their life. And in the spiritual sense, anything less than absolute obedience to Christ could bring about spiritual death. The slave, unlike the free man, has no law except his master's word. The slave has no rights of his own. A slave is the absolute possession of his master, totally and completely. The slave is required to follow the instruction of his master without question or hesitation. We have all seen these things from secular history. But now the question is, does this describe our relationship to Christ? Because it should. Do you follow Christ in complete obedience without hesitation? Think about 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We must come to Jesus on his terms, not our own. We must transform our will into his will. Many people try to conform Jesus to their own will, to be able to claim Christ, but continue to do as they've always done, serving their own desires and pleasures. But this will not work. This will fail. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 told us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, that we are to transform our will into his. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Jesus called out those who try to take that mindset of having Jesus on their own terms. He said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" How can Jesus be your Lord if you do not follow his instructions? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." No servant or slave will be allowed to go about with an attitude of haughtiness. It would be unacceptable. The penalty would be severe. To be a slave or a servant requires, on the part of the servant, an absolute humility. To not think more highly of self than one ought. To place yourself in subjection to the Master, Jesus. Without humility, obedience, complete obedience, is simply not possible. But if we humble ourselves, then we can become more willing and receptive to living in complete obedience. Think about the way that Paul considered himself. Think about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, and look at his attitude towards self. "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Consider what he said in Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 8. "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Also, look at what he would say to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul felt that he was the least of the saints. Paul would never forget the damage and the harm he had done to Christ and the church. He would never forget that. He understood the incredible grace that had been extended to him. For he considered himself to have been chief among sinners. When we think about Paul here and his attitude, Would that be a fitting relationship? I mean, a fitting description of your relationship to Christ? Would it describe your level of obedience to His will? The Lord Jesus told us that that's exactly what it should be. Remember what He said about servants in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10? So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. But if we murmur or complain about what Jesus tells us to do, can we really be considered servants? So to be a servant certainly requires humility. And we also find that to be a servant, we must be loyal to a fault. Since we become servants freely, it should be expected that we are going to give Him our loyalty first and foremost. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." You see, we must never give our first consideration to what's in it for me. What is my profit in this? Or what do I prefer myself? We should only consider what is the will and the pleasure of the matchless eternal one that I serve. But it is mind-boggling, in truth, as to how anyone can make the claim that they are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ while they complain or fuss about having to do the will of God or live in a reluctant or negligent manner about doing the things that He commands us to do. In fact, the pews are filled with many today that act as if assembling together or doing any work in serving Christ and His church, they act as if they're being forced against their will. No individual is forced to serve the Lord Jesus. If you do not want to serve Christ, then don't. But understand, the alternative to not serving Christ is horrific. Because if we do not serve King Jesus, that makes us a servant of the prince of this world, Satan. And if we are a servant of Satan, then we are destined for hell. But then two of the most important words to man, but God. But God, by His grace, has extended to man the offer of salvation. And how dare you or I ever have the gall to grumble or complain that He asked of us to live a life of service to show our grateful appreciation. So yes, there is a cost to be counted if we want to be a servant of Jesus Christ. There is a cost. It cost us in that we must be a servant. We must give service. We must give Him our allegiance. And we must remove our pride and replace it with humility. So yes, there is a cost. But oh, the reward. What a great reward. What a great honor there comes in being a servant. Perhaps in the physical world, being a servant or slave is a negative thing. But to be a spiritual servant, that is not a title of dishonor. Think about it. The greatest men that we read of in the Scripture were known as servants. Think of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you notice what they were referred to as in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 27? Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not look on the stubbornness of this people, or on their wickedness or their sin. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what about Moses? God referred to him as my servant. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 53. For you separated them from among all the peoples of the earth to be your inheritance, and you spoke by your servant Moses when you brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. And what about another servant of the Lord that we read of in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 29? Now it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Joshua, the servant of the Lord. And what of Joshua's contemporary Caleb? Look at what the Lord referred to him as. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. My servant Caleb. And what about a man named Job in Job chapter 1 and verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" And what of the prophet Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 20 and verse 3. Then the Lord said, "Just as my servant Isaiah has walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and a wonder against Egypt and Ethiopia." And what of the other prophets that God would refer to as my servants? Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 25. "Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them, my servants, the prophets." You see, there's a great honor, a great reward, if God looks upon you as his servant, placing you in that great cloud of witnesses as fellow laborers of these great men, those who found freedom and peace and glory. And they did it by humbling themselves and placing their will aside and submitting to the will of God. God will do just that for you if you are willing to accept his call to be a servant, to serve him, and to serve his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in absolute obedience, in absolute humility, and in absolute loyalty. And when you become a servant of God, when you are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when you are a servant of even your brethren in the same manner, then you are showing and displaying the marks of spiritual maturity. Can it be said of you today that you are a servant of God and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to thank you for joining me today. I hope our time together has been beneficial to you. I have certainly been encouraged by your presence, and I look forward to continuing our study, if the Lord wills, next week at this same time in the book of James as we begin to dive deeper into it. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it'll be posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. Stay tuned throughout the day today for the programming here on the network, and join again tomorrow at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for another edition of Mornings for the Master with your host, Preston McElyea. And until then, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, may God bless you, and we'll see you next time.